Our text for today is a famous one. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to tell you about my Sunday school teacher in 5th and 6th grade, Miss Childress. Now, as 5th graders, Miss Childress loved our class so much that even though she had taught that class for 10 years, when we moved to 6th grade, she moved with us. Miss Childress had rewards, and I don't remember whether it was a gold star or a candy bar or whatever, but we all worked for them. We memorized books of the Bible, and we learned Bible verses. The first Bible verse we all learned was John 11:35. Jesus wept. Very simple, two words. That was the easy one. You could learn that one on the way into class. You could learn that one after you were in class. And we all learned John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, Miss Childress loved us. And there were several kids named David in the class, and we were all sure that we were her favorite. And she loved us with that Irish love, so that just like you would say, "Oh, Riley," for a person, or "Oh, Charlie's" for an Irish restaurant, every time she saw me, it was, "Oh, David." And we knew that we were loved. But that love was part of that John 3:16 verse, but so was believe. And believing got stressed over the years so that believing became the central part. It was important what I thought about God and that I believed in Jesus. And believe was stressed over and over and over again. And then there was a preacher who tried to explain the verse as if it made sense, that God would love us so much that he would give his child. The story that the preacher told was about a train engineer who was driving a train down the tracks. And as he headed toward a bridge, he looked up ahead. And there he saw his only son, a small child, playing on the tracks. Preachers tell a lot of strange stories that I'm not quite sure how his son got on the tracks, but the details never matter. There is the engineer, and he's facing his son, and he can either throw the train and steer it so that it crashes off the tracks, killing everybody on the train, or he can push forward and run over his son. Again, strange stories by preachers. Well, I have to tell you that as I became a parent, it made it a lot harder to preach this passage. Kayla, our oldest, just reached her 23rd birthday on March 9th. And though she's far away in Morocco, Nate and I were talking about that sign of love. And I have to tell you that if it were me, I wouldn't have a doubt. I would throw that train to the side. I would do whatever it took. I don't mind sacrificing myself. In fact, if there were a fire in the church, I'd be one of the last ones out after I knew my children were gone. Nate and I were remembering a story about the other couple years ago. We were on the beach, and literally a guy out in the deep yelled out, "Help!" and was waving his hands. And I looked at my kids and I said, "Stay here," even though they are better swimmers than I am. And I grabbed the boogie board. And then a dad watching his two-year-old gave me another boogie board. So I had a boogie board on each hand. Well, the waves were high. And I'm old. So you know that as I ran into those waves, those two boogie boards just knocked me back every time. I tried. Fortunately, the young guy on a surfboard got out there real quick and got the guy in. No problem sacrificing myself. But the idea of sacrificing my child, I don't know people in Morocco, but my daughter is there. And I can't think of anything I would sacrifice for her. So that idea that God would give his son. That's a strange idea. Now, we do that. We will sacrifice our children in the name of terrible things. Ambition, for one. In contrast to this passage about God giving up his son is Jephthah. In the book of Judges, Jephthah is born of questionable lineage. And his half-brothers all look down on him. Except when they needed a warrior. Because Jephthah was quite a fighter. He'd had to fight his whole life. And I believe it was the Philistines, because it's usually the Philistines who showed up in that time, that came into town, and they needed somebody to rout them out. And so the townspeople went to Jephthah, and they said, "Hey, if you'll get rid of these folks, we'll make you our leader." Well, before battle, Jephthah promised to sacrifice to God the first thing that came out of his house upon his return. Now, in that day, they kept animals and all sorts of things in their house. Jephthah goes out, and he's victorious in battle. And he returns. And the first to come out is his daughter, who gets sacrificed. Not in the name of love, but ambition. How many kids grow up without parents? All in the name of ambition. How many kids grow up lonely because parents get caught up in something else, some object, some thing, some goal, and they sacrifice them, not out of love, but negligence? No, to love your children, you won't sacrifice them, which is why this passage is so strange. And when we make it sound like it makes sense, it loses its power. That's why the word believe is here. Because this is a passage about a crazy kind of love. A love that goes beyond imagination. When Galileo first pointed out that the earth wasn't the center of the universe, but the sun, the church, just went ballistic. How could God love us? We weren't the center of everything. But that's what the psalmist had asked long ago in Psalm 8. "Lord, who are we that you are even mindful of us?" And then we read about this crazy love in John 3:16. A love so crazy we can't understand. The Greeks had three words for love, which might help. There is eros, which is romantic kind of love. Eros looks at a person and says, "Wow, you are beautiful." Eros is that kind of love. Then there's philia, like Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, friendly love, love of a companion, love of a working relationship. But there's also agape, which is godly love. It is far beyond the other two. It's not because of the relationship, like a brother or a friend, or because of some beauty you recognize, but from the source of God. It gives value. It tells us who and whose we are. And that's the sort of love that we need. It's that sort of love that defines who we are. It's that sort of love that gives us the power to go out in the world. Catholic priest and writer Henry Nouwen left his position at Yale to serve handicapped adults that are residents in New England. And shortly before he was to lead a prayer service in one of the houses, Janet, one of the residents, came to him and said, "Henry, can you give me a blessing?" And Henry responded with a smile, and he traced the cross with his thumb on her forehead. And she just stared back at him and said, "Nope, didn't work." Well, Henry looked at her for a moment and he said, "How about I give you a real blessing when the whole group's together for the prayer service?" She smiled and said that'd be okay. After the service, with about 30 people sitting together in the circle, Henry said, "Janet's asked me to give her a special blessing. She just feels she could use one right now." Now, Henry wasn't sure what she needed or what he was going to do, but as he said, Janet has asked me to give me a special blessing. Janet stood up, walked to Henry. She wrapped her arms around him. She put her head on his chest and gave him a big hug. And without thinking, Henry covered her with the long, droopy sleeves of his minister's robe. And he said, "Janet, I want you to know that you are God's beloved daughter. You're precious in God's eyes. Your beautiful smile, your kindness to the people in your house, all the things that you do show us what a beautiful human being you are. And I know you feel a little low these days, and there's some sadness in your heart, but I want you to remember who you are, a very special person, deeply loved by God and the people who are here with you." As Henry finished these words, Janet raised her head and looked at him. Her broad smile was evident that she had heard and received the blessing. And when she sat back down, Jane, another resident, raised her hand and said, "I want a blessing too." Well, she stood up, Henry hugged her, and he spoke a blessing to her. And then many of the other residents wanted to be blessed in the same way. And one of the assistants, a 24-year-old student, raised his hand and said, "Hey, what about me?" "Sure," said Henry, "come on." And Henry told him, "John, it's good you're here. You are God's beloved child, and your presence is a joy for all of us. When things are hard, life is burdensome, always remember you're loved with a love that's beyond belief, an everlasting love." And John looked at him with tears in his eyes and said, "Thank you, thank you." Well, that's the love that Jesus passed on to us. It's a love that is so far beyond us. It takes belief to even imagine it could be possible. But that's the love that we need in the world. Our loves, the love we experience normally, won't do it. It takes a love beyond imagination. And that gives us the power to go to each person and to try and love, not just in a human way, but a godly way. Martin Luther King said, in the final analysis, says the Christian ethic, every person must be respected because God loves him or her. The worth of any individual does not lie in the measure of his or her intellect, racial origin, or special position. Human worth lies in relatedness to God. We have value because we have value to God. Whenever this is recognized, then whiteness and blackness, rich or poor, they pass away. Son, daughter, brother, sister are substituted. That's how God loves the world. And that's how we are to reach out in love, in an agape kind of love, in a godly sort of way. And the world won't be able to remain the same. That's the kind of kingdom that we need. For the kingdom that we know now is not enough. And that's why we've come. That's why we've gathered and prayed as we were taught, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen."